On this episode of the Throw Geek Podcast, we talk Disney Oscar nominations and Jurassic World is coming to an arena near you.
And we take a look back at the 2018 A Celebration of Harry Potter. All this and more on this Throw Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 12 of the Throw Geek Podcast. Barry had a busy weekend at a celebration of Harry Potter.
Yes, it was very busy.
Unfortunately, I had to work all weekend, so he was there getting the in and outs, and he did the duties on Twitter, as you all pretty much saw. He did some pretty awesome coverage of cosplay and the expo and everything. So I'm going to kind of give the floor to him here, and we'll talk about a celebration of Harry Potter. And then we got some other things to talk about. So Barry, how was it?
It was pretty good. It definitely felt a little bit busier this year. This is the third year I've been to a celebration of Harry Potter. And, it kicked off Friday night with the opening night event, which is always interesting because usually like the beginning part of the opening night event feels like a long commercial. Because it's like, let's bring out this person. Let's bring out that person. Mina Lima's here. Hey, we need to talk about the Warner Brothers studio tour. So it took 45 minutes of that.
It's a big advertisement.
Yeah, and of course, the cast members come out and, towards the end of the ad, basically the long advertisement. But the big thing this year was the concert featuring the Orlando Philharmonic Orchestra. Performing selections from the Harry Potter films, which was really cool. It was over a half an hour long, and they did selections from four different films, along with the clips playing on the screen along with it. Much like sort of a condensed version of the live Harry Potter concert series that have been going on across the country and around the world, and here in Orlando too. And so that was really neat. That's probably one of the more impressive opening night events they've done. You have an orchestra there playing some of the most famous Harry Potter music there is. And
I was watching. I can't remember if you live streamed or you just posted the video to Facebook, but I couldn't tell if it was just like random clips of Potter music or it was actually like scenes that they were recreating the music from that were up on the screen.
They did act,
or was it a little bit of both?
It was a little bit of both. I mean, the opening they opened with a theme that just played without anything, and then after that, it was actual scenes from the movies with the orchestra playing live, and he even had the dialogue and everything, and that was just really impressive to hear a live orchestra performing the score right there in front of you. And it ended with a nice little fireworks display, right above the Music Plaza stage. So it was a pretty impressive, opening night, for celebration of Harry Potter. And, it sort of set the tone for the whole weekend for me, this is definitely, I think one of the best ones they've done so far. Biggest thing this year, the cosplay was next level amazing. I mean,
there were tons. I mean, not just you, but I was scrolling through Twitter all weekend, and there was some really impressive cosplay.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
from what I saw,
it's one thing. There's obviously plenty of people who are dressed up in the Hogwarts school uniforms, but I mean
the robes,
or the school outfits. Which and some people came up with some pretty cool ones, but the cosplay was just amazing. Different, almost every character you could think of from the movies and the books, and also Fantastic Beasts. People were dressed up like the characters from Fantastic Beasts, and some of them were just spot on amazing. And then I think that
surprised me the most was the amount of Fantastic Beast cosplay that I saw.
Yeah, there was a lot of that, and I can see why it's much easier to do because it's basically a 1920s look.
Sure.
Some people were really, really spot on. A friend of mine was dressed up as, I forgot the name of the Nomash character, but he was so good. Like Pottermore posted pictures of him online and, and a lot of people had unique costumes. Someone we know, they dressed up as fans of Victor Crumb, just like Ron was in one of
the. Who was that?
Yeah, that was Meg. And, everything from there was whole Quidditch teams, people like dressed up in full Quidditch outfits.
I don't know if you saw the picture, but did you see the girl with the toilet and the Ministry of Magic?
Yeah, I saw.
She had little poop emojis in the toilet.
Yeah, there was people cosplaying pygmy puffs. There was a group of women who were dressed up as different colored pygmy puffs.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw them on Twitter.
And so it's the cosplay out of the three the last 3 years, this year the cosplay was really some next level stuff. So,
and you got a lot of pictures up on Twitter and stuff. So
yeah, a lot of pictures of cosplay. There's just so many people. I stopped and took pictures when I could, and it was amazing. And there was the expos, a lot of new stuff this year. The exhibition had all these different costumes from the movies. This is the exhibition that travels the world. And next stop was going to be like Milan in Italy. And, they had costumes from Fantastic Beasts. They had Victor Crumb's costume. They had, Tonks costume, Natalia Tena, who was one of the talent who was there this year. Amazing costumes. The Warner Brothers Studio Tour, they brought a whole new different exhibit this year. They brought the Goblet of Fire, one of two that were created. They brought one.
That was really cool.
That was really neat. And it was all about, this year was all about showing the practical effects that were used in the movie that were sometimes used and then enhanced with CGI, but how some things, some people thought were completely CGI were actually practical effects or partial practical effects. So,
the door that spit out the Hogwarts letters too, that was really cool.
Yeah. I mean, that was neat. Then and they created thousands of letters, to shoot through that door for the filming of the movie. And they even showed the floating candles, we all assume all the floating candles are CGI, but they're not. There's a lot of them that were on wire. They're, LED candles on wires. And, a lot of the shots where the candles are in the background, those are actually practical candles. Cause if they're in the background, they're slightly out of focus, and it's a lot easier just to have a practical effect, than have to go later and add CGI candles and into it. So it was, the studio tour was really neat this year. They had a couple of neat little photo ops. Mina and Lima were there this year doing meet and greets. Scholastic had their booth as usual, which, you have the Muggle wall where you can write on there, like, how, what Harry Potter means to you. They had a photo op where you could put yourself in the Sorcerer's Stone book cover. And then the big thing this year, since it's the 20th anniversary of Sorcerer's Stone being released in the United States, they debuted some of the artwork for the new editions that will be coming later this year. And the illustrator actually was there signing. I actually got to get the concept art that they were giving out, got it signed by him. So that was pretty neat.
That's cool. What I was going to ask you, did you do the Fantastic Beasts VR thing? How was that?
I did not get a chance to do that. I watched some people check it out, and it the graphics on it are definitely, good PC, PS4 type graphics. They were using Oculus and Samsung Gear VR headsets. And it looked pretty neat. The biggest thing is is lines. You know, there was long lines for everything. There was, you know, if those of you followed the coverage, I was there at like 8:15, 8:30, both Saturday and Sunday, just to get in line for the to get into the expo. That just gets you into the expo. Then, you know, it was like 45 minutes to wait in the line to get in the studio tour. And, you know, there's a lot of waiting in line if you want to do certain things or meet certain people. You know, the VR looked really cool. So
is that something that's like available for sale, or is that something exclusive to like the expo or the,
I think the VR experience is coming. Same thing. They had the Hogwarts Mystery game, and you could actually, check, you know, to do, I guess, you know, sort of beta version of it where you got to play around with it for a little bit.
Did you get to play around with that?
Yeah, it seemed, it's, you know, it's a mobile game, and it's, you know, you learn how to cast spells and basically it's, you know, it's sort of like, you know, you're going to Hogwarts. This is your chance to go to Hogwarts. And, you know, the brief little time I got to check it out, it, you know, it seemed pretty, pretty cool. You know, I mean, that's, you know, we have the other game coming, was it Wizards Unite? That's also supposed to come later this year, but I think this one's coming first. They didn't give a specific date, but it's looking like it's, you know, it's going to be one of the first out. And, you know, and they had, you know, different booths, you know, Cursed Child, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child had a booth, which they did last year, and it's coming to Broadway this year. Pottermore always has a booth. There were some props from the movies were out and about that you could see. Not less elaborate than they've had in the past with props. But you can see all this on our highlights video that we've created that's on our YouTube channel, along with a video that has highlights from the concert on Friday night. And it was a lot of fun, a lot of standing, a lot of walking. You know, it's, you know, bring your walking shoes for this. I don't see it. Some of those people who had some pretty elaborate cosplay, I don't know if I can make it through the day with some of the stuff they had on.
Some of the layers.
Yeah, I know. As I post on Twitter, it's like, you know, oh, this amazing cosplay, you know, except for this guy who's wearing this Thrill Geek shirt. So
you're doing your own cosplay.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, as you said, when you first started talking, I wouldn't be surprised if Universal expands the celebration of Harry Potter to a couple weekends. What do you think?
I could see it going a couple of weekends. I mean, that's been, a lot of fans feel like one weekend is not enough. You know, the expos, you know, are only open a certain amount of time, and like Saturday they're open a less time because I guess vacation package people get like exclusive access to the expo.
Yeah,
you know, and that's always the thing too, is like to experience everything you have to have the vacation package. And you know, they've never offered any sort of separate like non-hotel ticket, and you know, as of right now they don't really need to because they always sell out the vacation packages. So it's you know, I mean, you get to do a lot of stuff just being a regular ticket holder and a pass holder, and you know you get to most events. You know, there's, you know, obviously, you know, vacation package holders get certain like meet and greets, and then they have an opening night party, which was the official debut of the new nighttime lights at Hogwarts Castle. They had that party Friday night after the opening night event, and the public debut occurred right around 6:30 on Saturday night in a very packed area in front of Hogwarts Castle. And I was there for that. And the show is a shorter show. It's basically, you know, about the four houses of Hogwarts, with each house getting their own little part of the show.
And it's all narrated by the Sorting Hat.
It's narrated by the Sorting Hat. Obviously using the music from the Harry Potter movies, and it's a shorter show than the Christmas show. It was fun to see it. Got to see it twice. The opening night. Waited there an hour for it to get dark enough and packed in with that crowd. I mean, it was crazier than any of the Christmas showings I went to. I mean, it was the celebration of Harry Potter weekend.
There's a bunch of Potter fans there.
A bunch of Potter, which was neat because when each house came up, people cheered.
Everybody cheered.
Yeah, people cheered for their house. So, I mean, it was cool to get to see it with a crowd like that because I don't know if we're going to get that all the time with people cheering for each specific house.
I'm sure you will, just not on the level of a celebration of Harry Potter weekend.
Yeah, no, it was really cool to see it for the first time with a crowd like that. Shorter show, got some really cool, impressive moments, especially for Slytherin and Gryffindor. There's still some fireworks in it too, just like the Christmas show. So it's a good addition. It's going to keep people in Hogsmeade at night. It was super packed that opening night. I mean, the line to get into Hogsmeade stretched into Lost Continent. So it's another thing. I just like the Christmas show. My recommendation is to go towards the end of the evening. Cause they usually do a show right at park close. So I just like the Christmas show, my recommendation is get there about a half an hour before park close if you want to see it a couple of times. That's usually when
Were they running this pretty much are they going to be, I can't remember the exact, it's not nightly, but we have the schedule up on the website.
Yeah, they still have not announced what the full schedule. I think this is not, in the slower times of year, it's not going to run nightly. It's going to run certain days of the week. And obviously, I expect during the busier times of the year, it's going to run, every day. I'm sure summer, Easter season, it'll run every day. And it's already, shown there's certain days it is running, during the slower times, Islands is staying open later. So I think it's running the 31st and the studios closes at 7 and Islands stays open till 8. So, it's
gotta be. Yeah. And that was one of my hopes of these nighttime shows is the park would be open later.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes, and like I said, enjoy the show. You can check it out on our YouTube channel. We shot it from multiple angles, so it was a fun weekend of Harry Potter.
You didn't see it in Hollywood when you were over there last year, did you?
No, they were not running it when we were there. It was one of the nights where I think by the time we got there, it was only running on weekends.
Going back to my question earlier, sorry, not kind of off topic. The I looked it up. The Fantastic Beasts VR thing came out on Vive, Daydream, and Oculus on January 23rd, so it is out.
Okay, well that's good. Anyways. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. They're trying to we've got the sequel coming out in November of this year, so trying to get people back interested into Fantastic Beasts, and they're hoping.
It's definitely an interesting year for Harry Potter video games. I mean, even though we're getting two on a mobile device, and we're getting this VR thing, because if Harry Potter is lacking in one area, it's been video games.
Yeah, I mean, probably the best Harry Potter video game has been the Lego games. Most of the other tie-in ones weren't, like most movie tie-in games were not that great. They're definitely coming up with new games. Harry Potter is still well and alive. I mean, it's not going anywhere. You got new editions of the books coming out this year. The movies just came out on 4K and on Blu-ray. You know, you got Fantastic Beasts going. You got these new video games.
And the theme parks aren't done yet either.
And the theme parks aren't done yet. You know, 2019, we got a new ride. You know, some people were hoping a little bit was going to be released about that, but that Universal always keeps their cards close to the vest. You know, I mean, we still don't have an opening date for the, you know, the Fast and Furious ride. So,
yeah,
all we know is the other one's going, you know, it's going to be in 2019. Construction's going on right now. And
yeah, I was there the other, speaking of which, really quick, I was there last week and they were, I don't know if they were drilling for new foundation work or something, but they had this big machine and it was literally like shaking all of Hogsmeade. It was pretty crazy. I was standing there watching it and then they were doing some kind of construction for foundation work or something. And
well, I'm sure if, I mean, we're talking, you know, if it is the coaster dark ride hybrid that we're expecting, you know, I mean, you got to put in footers and those footers go way down into the ground. And it takes a, you know, they had to remove everything, including, I'm assuming the footers from the Dragons. So it's like you got to put in, you know, looks like so far the queue is staying, you know, obviously I'm sure it'll be modified, but it looks like the queue building is staying.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of other websites have posted, you know, the helicopter pictures and the castle is still sitting there untouched.
Yeah. What they'll do with that, who knows, but I mean, it would make sense that they would reuse that in some form. You know, it's a pretty long queue.
Oh God. Yes. That was one of the things that drove me crazy about Dueling Dragons was that long walk down that castle.
Yeah. So it definitely looks like they're reusing part of it. So it'd be interesting to see, what the final product will be. But I think that about sums up Harry Potter for right now.
I tried it at the last minute and I shot out a tweet asking people for just if they had any questions and we got one. It's from @TheMacMachine on Twitter and he asks, with Voodoo Donuts replacing the Element Store, what is the future of retail stores at City Walk? Also, what would you guys like to see come to City Walk in the near future?
That's a good question. I mean, the big thing...
Sorry, I smacked my microphone.
City Walk Orlando doesn't have compared to... You know, Universal's City Walk in Hollywood is bigger, you know, tenant-wise than the City Walk here in Orlando. You know, I mean, they have a lot more retail. They have a lot more restaurants. So it's interesting. I mean, I expect Voodoo Donut will, you know, we've all discussed it's going to do bang up business. I know there's mixed reactions from everybody as far as, you know, how good it is. I mean, it's good. Is it the greatest donut I've ever had? No. There's some things you keep wondering, why are they still there? Like the Whopper Bar and Moe's. I mean, I guess they fill a need, but they're not really unique.
And the whole
albeit Hollywood's is full of chains. You know, yeah. Hollywood doesn't really, City Walk Hollywood doesn't really have much as far as original stuff. They don't have a Toothsome's like we do, you know?
Yeah.
They have a lot. Hollywood's is almost nothing but chain restaurants.
To kind of answer the second part of his question, what would I like to see come to City Walk in the future? I would personally like to see, and I think this was a rumor. It was in a survey or something. I can't remember exactly where it was, that there was going to be an escape room coming to City Walk, because at least here in Orlando, our recent additions have been nothing but restaurants. And I'd like to see them get into more entertainment options, like an escape room.
Yeah, I mean, there's been talk about like an SNL club. You know, I mean, there could definitely be room for like a sketch improv type club. Gosh, just like Disney used to have. and because I think you could definitely add something like that to the City Walk entertainment wise. I think you got places already that are, some places aren't as popular as the other places. You have a dance club, you got Rising Star, which is the karaoke club, which is always packed. I think something like an SNL club, like a sketch/improv place would probably do pretty good business. The issues always is with something like that is how well it would do every night. Would it be open every night of the week, or would you just run it like 5 nights a week or something like that?
Sure. And we could sit here and compare it to Disney Springs, but Universal doesn't have the throughput that Disney has.
No, they don't have the retail that, Disney Springs is basically an upscale shopping center. I mean, we can talk about theming or whatever, but it's an upscale shopping center. That's what it's become.
An upscale outlet.
Yeah, it is. It's an upscale shopping, dining, entertainment district, like a lot of major cities have now around the country. It's got the Disney touch to it. And it's got definitely unique dining venues and some retail locations. And, City Walk will never be that because, City Walk is a hub for the theme parks there. But they definitely still have some room for expansion. Like I said, I know there's been countless surveys sent out with different ideas. What they got right now is doing pretty good.
The recent changes they've made have really improved what was the previous City Walk. When they did the big restaurant overhaul, adding Bread Box, Red Oven,
Vivo.
Yeah, Vivo. That big
Cowfish.
That big overhaul was really the first phase of a big change for City Walk. And then of course you had Toothsome
Toothsome was a big change. It took a location that did okay, but I mean that place does insane business now. Even though I, at times I feel like they haven't fixed all the issues that place has, but I mean, it's always busy.
Yeah. And NBC Sports Grill and Brew seems to be doing a lot better than NASCAR Cafe or NASCAR Sports Grill, whatever you want to call it, ever did.
Oh yeah. It does way better than NASCAR ever did. And the food is a massive improvement over the NASCAR grill. So, I mean, everything they've done so far for the most part with City Walk, all the improvements are really good. Like I said, I think Voodoo will, definitely fit in right in there and will do crazy business.
Cause it's something on that side of the City Walk. I mean, Toothsome kind of filled that void over there on the far side over by, but literally right next to Islands of Adventure. Over on this side now, you'll have the Voodoo Donuts and the ice cream place. And I mean, there's all sorts of sweets there for your pickings.
Yeah. So
anyways, Mac, thanks for the question. We appreciate it. I'm going to try and do these a little bit more in advance. This was just literally like a spur of the moment thing. So I appreciate your question. And then on our next episode, I'll get it out a little bit earlier for questions or comments or anything. So thanks again. I appreciate it. Moving on, we have, an announcement from Feld Entertainment, earlier last week. What is that? Where's that coming from? Jurassic World is going to be coming, they're doing an arena show. It looks like it's going to be similar to all their other shows, the Marvel Universe Live, the Disney on, they're not going to have ice skating dinosaurs, but I think they're all going to have that. It's going to have that same feel. It's going to have huge dinosaurs. Some of them, I think it said in the press release, up to 40 feet long. It's going to have projection mapping, which I'm curious about. So Yeah, I think it'll be pretty cool. I think something like this could do well if it's done right. There's a lot of people. They didn't really announce any details other than that. There's going to be big dinosaurs, obviously, and the show will start in the fall of 2019. And they're actually going to be building it and rehearsing it here in Orlando.
So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, there's been different like touring dinosaur shows before.
Yeah, that one was called Dinosaurs Live or whatever, Walking with the Dinosaurs or something like that.
Yeah, Walking with Dinosaurs. And, you know, Jurassic World obviously came back in, you know, the Jurassic Park / World Universe came back in a big way. There's a sequel coming out this year that, you know, cross our fingers is going to be good. And, you know, this isn't surprising. Dinosaurs have always been popular. You know, Jurassic World showed why it's still popular. And so, you know, I've known people who've seen the Marvel Universe live shows and, you know, really enjoyed and were impressed by that. And I expect this will be impressive too and fun, especially for kids. So,
yeah, it says on the website, I mean, there's not much info either on the website, just a sign up page. It's live.jurassicworld.com. You can put in your information and I guess they're going to keep you updated, but it says, some of the dinosaurs will be the T-Rex. There'll be Velociraptor.
What?
Blue.
The T-Rex?
Yeah. Who would have known?
Shocking.
But not too many other details were announced, so it'll be interesting to see what becomes of that. So, I also wanted to discuss Disney Oscar nominations as they were announced. I was kind of sad, as I talked about my last episode. I've fallen in love with The Greatest Showman, and it only got one Oscar nom. I mean, we don't have to talk just about Disney. If there's anything else, what's his name? The movie, what's the movie you saw?
The Shape of Water.
Shape of Water.
That led all the nominations.
He killed it on those, on those nominations.
I mean, Beauty and the Beast got nominated for best costume, best production design. Not really surprising. Coco was nominated for Best Animated Feature. I expect that to win. It's pretty much been racking up all the other awards. Remember Me got nominated for Best Song.
The visual effects category got swamped by Disney movies. The Last Jedi and Guardians of the Galaxy, they got visual effects nominations.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Last Jedi got the usual technical award nominations, best sound editing, sound mixing, original score, John Williams. I mean, the score for that movie was really good, really impressive. And of course, best visual effects for that, for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, you know, and also, Lou, the animated short, got nominated for Pixar. So, you know, it's in a lot of nominations. The not as many as the company they're acquiring got. 20th Century Fox and Fox Searchlight got a lot of the nominations.
I didn't look those up.
But it's, you know, it's a lot of nomination. So, I mean, which is part of the reason, you know, Disney's looking to acquire them. You know, they, you know, Fox and Fox Searchlight are very good at producing adult and award-winning films. So,
yeah. And like I said in the last episode, did we discuss that in the last episode? I don't know. A couple episodes ago, I think it was when we discussed the Fox, Disney acquiring 20th Century Fox was. I think the reason they're doing it is to have that adult film, you know, more mature studio under their belt, and they'll keep it that way so they can keep putting out these movies because obviously they're doing well.
Yeah, Fox scored 27 Oscar nominations with Fox Searchlight, their indie film label, accounting for 20 of those. So plenty of nominations, and So, yeah, but, you know, I expect Coco to win Best Animated Feature. We'll see, you know, it's who's guest who will win, win Best Song. And, you know, same thing, whether John Williams will get another Oscar for his score. So,
and who are the nominees for Best Animated Feature Film?
That's where it gets really weird.
What was Baby? What was the Baby? The
Boss, what is it? Baby.
The Boss Baby. What was that? Everybody was like, that was like the talk on Twitter. Boss Baby was nominated for something. Was that Best Animated Feature Film? Yeah, I got it right here.
Yeah, Boss Baby and Ferdinand, which really shocked a lot of people.
It was all over Twitter. Everybody's like, the Boss Baby?
Yeah, that was surprising to a lot of people. You know, there was a lot of people who thought, you know, Lego Batman should have been nominated. But if you remember, I believe the Lego Movie wasn't nominated. You know, I mean, it's sort of surprising that Boss Baby and Ferdinand got nominated when there was definitely other animated films that were. I mean, God, I would have nominated Despicable Me 3 before any of those. So,
my son, I've seen bits and pieces of The Boss Baby. I don't think I sat through the whole movie yet. I mean, it seems, I don't know. I couldn't see that movie being just for what it is being nominated for an Academy Award.
Yeah, it makes no sense because, I mean, like I said, there were other ones like Despicable Me 3, like Lego Batman that got way better critical reviews than either Boss Baby or Ferdinand. I mean, it's you know, it's just sort of weird. So,
and then I was looking up the other. Oh, visual effects. That's the other one. I was Blade Runner 2049, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Skull Island got nominated for that.
Yeah,
I forgot about that. And Last Jedi and Planet of the Apes. What do you think's going to win that one? Star Wars.
I would hope Star Wars, but I have a feeling it's going to be Blade Runner.
Yeah,
because when you have the whole Academy voting, you know, for these awards, then, you know, it gets into what's the more adult and, you know, and I will say Blade Runner 2049, the visuals are it's a stunning movie. But I will also say Last Jedi is maybe the most beautiful shot Star Wars movie ever, and
the visuals. I remember you saying that when we were going over, when we were doing our review.
Yeah, and visual effects wise, it's in a whole other level compared to other films. It just, the flawlessness of those of the effects in that movie are just stunning.
And I think the whole ending scene too, where they're on Crait, and that whole scene was just shot so well.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see, and you know, hopefully we'll see what happens. And
real quick, did you see me post the Porg shoes?
Yes, the Porg shoes.
Everybody loved those. And I was like, $100 for some Porg shoes?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd do that, but
they were $85. Yeah, $100 for Porg shoes. And they're already sold out, by the way, I think.
That doesn't surprise me.
So, all right. Anything else you want to talk about? We could cut this episode kind of short.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing that really happened, obviously happened, a couple of animatronics lost their heads.
Oh, yeah. that happened tonight, so we can... at Disneyland Paris, the pirate... lost his. I can't believe this happened in the same day. I was blown away by this. The auctioneer in the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction at Disneyland Paris, he lost his head. And then Ursula at Disneyland in California lost her head. and the videos are all over Twitter, Facebook. I don't think I shared it on our on Throw Geek's Twitter or Facebook page, just because it was everywhere, and you really didn't have to. All you had to do, if you're a theme park person, probably just scroll through your Twitter or Facebook, and somebody had a video of it. And like you mentioned, Barry, what was most impressive is even though their head fell off, their mouths were still moving. So that shows Disney's quality workmanship is somewhat there. Oh, that was too funny though. I showed it to my wife and she about died. It was pretty hilarious. I don't know which one was more. I didn't see video. Did somebody get video of the Pirates one? I only saw video of the Ursula one.
I don't know if anybody got video of the, I saw pictures.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of pictures.
I'm sure someone out there got video. I mean, the Ursula one was, like I said, was interesting because of her, she was still, her mouth was still moving. She was still, you know, the head was still working, you know, which just goes to show the construction of those animatronics, how, because they're built to constantly do repetitive motion over and over and over and over. So, like, you know, they're built to withstand so much, you know, pressure. But obviously, you know, something happened. You know, and I'm sure these stuff like this has been happening for years. It's just everybody's got a camera now.
Yeah, it's just coincident that somebody. I mean, still, it's just it. You have
it
to.
It is funny they both happened in the same day. So
same day, and then it was just a weird week for animatronics. Did you see Ellen? Got the remains of her Universe of Energy animatronic.
Yeah, and even then that was sort of questionable about, like, you know, whether that was really the one, because, you know, I know they gave her the face off of it.
Yeah.
But whether that, like, dummy was the actual animatronic, or because, you know, they repurpose the animatronics.
Yeah,
whether it's for parts or replacing, you know, they don't ever waste an animatronic. So
yeah, but that was pretty funny too, and pretty creepy.
yeah, it's
so anyways, it was an interesting week for Disney animatronic figures. All right, I think that's about it for this week. We'll what do we got coming up here? Mardi Gras.
Yep, Mardi Gras kicks off. You know, we'll definitely be there covering, you know, barring any craziness, we'll be there opening day, and we'll be covering, you know, get to see the new floats up close and personal, and you know, looking forward to Mardi Gras coming back, and just like last year, it being every day of the week, the parade. And
yeah, that'll be good for me, who has random days off in the middle of the week.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes it easier to catch Mardi Gras now. You know, Festival of the Arts is still going on for a few more weekends, and then there's a short break, and we're going to be right into Flower and Garden for 3 months, 90 days this year. So. Yeah.
And then Seven Seas Festival kicks off at SeaWorld, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll have all that coverage up on, you know, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Check out the YouTube channel, because Barry put up a really cool, like he said at the beginning, a celebration of Harry Potter highlight video. And you can find that at youtube.com/throwgeek. Be sure to hit the subscribe button. And we'll have more videos up there periodically of everything going on. And also, like I said, follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Throw Geek. Like us, follow us. Barry did some pretty awesome coverage of a celebration of Harry Potter, so you can scroll through and see all of his videos and photos from that. So,
and don't forget at Throw Geek on Instagram, where we put all our pretty pictures and videos.
yeah, I try. I try to post more on there on Instagram. I neglected Instagram for a while.
And in the show notes for this podcast, we'll have links to all the things we talked about today on this podcast.
Yeah, I'll have links to. I'll probably throw a link to the YouTube video for a celebration of Harry Potter in the instead of article.
Keep clicking on that highlights video over and over again.
and I'll have the link up for the Jurassic Park, the Jurassic World Feld Entertainment announcement and all that stuff. So, all right, that's it. Thanks, guys, again for listening, and we'll see you guys again next time.
See you in the parks.